is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. By the way, I did see Oppenheimer on my Christmas break.
Yeah, how was it?
I thought it was outstanding, and a lot of people were right about it.
And
it's weird. It's a 3-hour movie about a nuclear physicist.
And you didn't do the combo?
No, okay. I'm never doing the combo. I'm never watching the Barbie movie.
I just had to ask if you did. What is it called?
Said
the Oppenheimer.
I have no reason to ever watch the Barbie movie. I have no interest in that at all, ever. But I did. I rented Oppenheimer to finally watch it. I kind of regret not seeing it on the big screen. It looked like a movie that should have been on the big screen, but it was still really good. What I liked about it was the acting was fantastic, and it made nuclear physicists interesting. The whole building of the atomic bomb, when you marry the good dialogue with the music, it made it captivating. I mean, the way they were talking about these formulas and whatnot, it made it interesting. It's amazing what a good movie score will do. But
not only that,
Murphy,
but I love that when they do things like that, they write the dialogue in such a way that it makes sense to you.
It does.
And then all of a sudden are like, oh God, I'm a nuclear physicist.
I watched scenes twice because they were so intense and good and so well acted that I rewatched. I didn't watch the whole movie because it's 3 hours, but I remember certain scenes. I'm like, I want to watch that again. And I rewatched certain scenes. But Cillian Murphy, it's so weird because I know him from Peaky Blinders. I know him as Scarecrow. And I know him in a couple of other things. I think he was in Red Eye years ago with Rachel McAdams. But I've never seen him as the star of a blockbuster, right? And he was great. But you know who was better? Robert Downey Jr. was better. He was very, very good in his role in the movie. So
What was he in the movie?
He was sort of.
I don't know why I didn't even know that he was in it.
No, he plays a major player in it because Oppenheimer had a kind of a rival post-war, and Louis Strauss, and he plays Louis Strauss, and he was on the Atomic Energy Commission.
Okay,
and he tries to discredit Robert Oppenheimer because Oppenheimer after the war was like, we shouldn't be making the. We should stop doing this. Don't build any more of this. Don't build the hydrogen bomb. And at the time, we were like, we want to build more of these because they stopped the war. You know, they stopped. We want to, and they kind of accused him of being a spy, and they kind of. So he had most of the movie. There's two parts of the movie. There's the post-war part, and they kind of go back and forth. The post-war part where he's kind of defending his credibility and his patriotism and the whole process of how he got the job in the first place, how he got to Los Alamos to build the bomb and the crew he brought with them to build the bomb. Matt Damon is outstanding in it. Gary Oldman is in it for like 2 minutes. He plays President Truman. And it's like, this is what Gary Oldman has done my entire life, is played small roles in big time moments.
Historical figures too.
Historical figures. I don't know how many presidents and historical people he's played in my lifetime.
Did he get an Oscar for playing Winston Churchill?
Yes, exactly.
Now he's Truman.
Now he's Truman. And Truman's only in it for one scene. And so there's only one scene that he's in it. And that's what you notice in the movie is like Christopher Nolan must be so excellent to work with. That people were like, yeah, what do you need me for? What do you need me? Tuesday? Yeah, I'll show up and do something. Like, there's that many people in this movie that are in this movie for a scene or two.
Tom Hanks?
It's Tom Hanks. He just shows up and you do a part and then you go, thanks, Christopher. I appreciate being part of this movie.
We'll do lunch sometime.
Right. Exactly. It's like Eddie Van Halen on Beat It. He just like, I don't even want to be credited with this. I just want to be, just let me do it. It was, you would watch it and you'd go, holy cow, who is that? Oh my God, he's in this? I did that the whole 3 hours of different people that were in this movie. You know what's funny is, oh God, I wish I could remember the guy's name. He's been in a ton of stuff. But anyway, there is a character in the movie all these are based on real life people. But the guy's in like a fat suit. He's kind of in heavy makeup. He plays an older version of than what he is in real life. I pause the movie. I say to my wife, hey, come in here for a second. She goes, what? She goes, I said, do you recognize that guy? She looks at him. She goes, no. I go, you know who that is? And she goes, who? I go, Bernard from Santa Claus. She goes, really? I go, yep, there he is.
That's the head elf?
The head elf from the Santa Claus movie. David something. And he plays him. He's got a major part in Oppenheimer. It's a good, it's really good. It made a movie filled with science really good. It's like Interstellar. When he did Interstellar, it's the same thing. Interstellar warped my brain in a way that my brain should not be warped, because I don't have much, right? So you warp it, I might be done. Well, but the whole idea, like, they're on a planet and it's 7 years for 1 hour, I was like, I couldn't process it. They go back up after a couple of hours. The guy says, you've been gone for 28 years.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I couldn't believe that.
Now, is it like true to Christopher Nolan fashion where it's a little on the bizarre side?
Yeah, a little.
I mean, more straight, like I'm doing a historical documentary.
Yeah, they try to stay as true to history as possible with some natural Hollywood.
Because I know he's gravitated that way. You know, like with Interstellar. What was the other one? Began with an I.
Inception.
Thank you. Yeah, Inception, and then the Tenet. You know, he's gone that route where it's like, you know. You know, at the end of Inception, I was like, okay, was it all a dream? I don't. You know,
yeah,
the
no,
top
there's none
is
of that.
Spinning.
This is that. That's a good point. That's not that.
There's none
looking,
of that.
Yeah,
none of that
is
type
a historical. This is a historical movie. Again, some liberties have been taken, obviously, because it's Hollywood. But the other part of it that is really good is, it's weird. If you went to somebody and said, hey, you should see this movie. What's it about? Oh, it's about Robert Oppenheimer. He was the father of the atomic bomb. Okay. Do they show the atomic bomb being used? No. Do they show Hiroshima and Nagasaki? No. You don't get the bomb in action in the movie. You see it being tested, but you don't get there's no war footage, none of that stuff. And yet it is as compelling. You would normally go, I don't want to see. I want to kind of see the war.
Carnage.
But, yeah. No, you don't see that, but yet he makes it so that you know exactly how devastating this was and how problematic morally it was for the people who are building it. And it's really well put together like that. Now, again, it's based on a book, so the book probably had to do with, you know, the shaping of this story. But the one thing that you come away with it is in historically. The one thing I disagree with it is that it had a tendency to lean towards, look at what mankind has done in a negative way. Look, we've built this horrible bomb that is capable of destruction. But other people have pointed out, since this invention, casualties in war have gone way, way, way down, because we tend not to over-escalate conflict to a point where this stuff can be used, because we haven't used it since. And they were living in a world where they thought this would be used constantly. So they were sort of in the mindset of the 40s and the 50s where we built it, the Soviets are going to build it, and we're just going to use it all the time. Like, hey, we don't like your trade. Boom. We don't like this. Boom. And it was like they were fearful of that, when in reality we've had 80 years and we haven't really done that to each other. We haven't done that. So it sort of tinkers on that, but it's still a well-done movie. So there's my wake up call movie recommendations. See, right. Everyone's telling you it's one of the movies of the year, so it's not like I'm throwing a curveball at you.
Yeah.
But it was well worth the 3 hours.
It's not like some of us are coming back going, wow, you really like that movie?
Yeah, right, exactly. It's like, this is probably going to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe. I don't know how the Oscars work these days.
Or who else is nominated. Yeah. I don't even know who's nominated right now.
Yeah,
I don't think
it's. Let me put it to you this way. It's one of those movies where after I saw it, I went, Cillian Murphy should win Best Actor. But then I stopped and went, yeah, but I haven't seen every movie out there to make that call. I'm saying that because he's the last thing I saw, right? There might be another movie where somebody knocked it out of the park 1,000 times better. I don't know.
Oh, they haven't even done the nominations yet.
Yeah, doesn't that come out? These
so
comes in like the
how about movie? How about amend it, say, you know, Cillian Murphy deserves to be nominated.
Yeah. I hope Robert Downey Jr. gets an award for Best Supporting Actor. He was that good. You do not see Iron Man. You do not see Tony Stark. You do not see anything else that he may have done in the past, like Chaplin and all those other movies. But the recently with his Tony Stark fame and his Tony Stark sort of persona, you don't see that at all in this movie. If you're young and he's really the only, you don't remember Less Than Zero and all the other movies he did when he was younger, and you only know him as Tony Stark from the Marvel movies, he is not that. He is Louis Strauss. So there you go, Oppenheimer. Saw it during the Christmas break. Come back. All right, thoughts on Michigan and Washington. Where are we going with this Monday night? That's coming up next. We continue with Wake Up.